This, I did an exposition of Isaiah chapter 50 when I first came up here a long time ago. And this is the exposition I did, and I'm going to start a series on this, Lord willing, talking about walking in the sparks of your own fire. And it's a lesson I've had to learn myself. And this is one I've learned. This is not one that I learn it and then discard it. This is one that I've actually learned, and I still practice constantly. And I will continue to practice it, because it's something that you have to learn if you're going to be a church member. You're just going to have to learn it. If you don't, you'll run from church to church. You'll do everything you can to find one that really meets with your approval. And if you're a pastor, you'll run from church to church to church to church, hoping one day you'll find one that's your dream church, where everybody loves you and treats you nice and everything's fine and you got no problems, you don't have any decisions to make or anything. And a lot of preachers do that, particularly young preachers. And they just hop around like bunny rabbits because they think the next church has got to be better. But no, it probably will be worse. So I made up my mind, and the Lord helped me to make it up. It wasn't my idea, but wherever I went the first time, I'd stay there till they ran me off. And so I did. Here I am. And they haven't run me off yet. Now, this is something that really a pastor needs to know. A deacon needs to know it. And a preacher needs to know it. And everybody in the church needs to know it. Because I did not realize this when God called me into the ministry, and I did not realize this when I came up here. But I do now, and it's really helped me to deal with problems and troubles and stress and things like that nature. And I'm a lot better at doing it because it's God that's I've learned to trust God. And it's you think sometimes you know, when I was 30, 40, 50, I thought I'd learned to trust God. But I was still walking in the sparks of my own fire, and I didn't know it. And this is something that takes a long time to learn. So I'm going to give you this night, and I'm going to start a series on it. Now, I'm going to show you, first of all, that it applies to Israel. It applies to churches. And it applies to individual church members. And I guess you could apply it to anybody that's saved. But it's something that I was very guilty of, had no idea I was guilty of it. And now I can see a lot of people that was right where I was, and they're living hopeless, miserable lives, and they're members of churches. And it's just an unhappy situation. So here we go. Israel has sold herself to walk in the light from the sparks of a fire she generated as an unfaithful wife. Now, first of all, I start off with Isaiah 53. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. Now, that is a pretty grim picture of the blackness that a person experiences when they don't make a habit of repenting constantly throughout their life to God. I'm 83 years old, and I repent all the time. Matter of fact, I think a day hardly goes by that I haven't been distracted by something, and I have to repent of it. It just takes a minute, and it's not a quickie prayer. It's just something God and I understand, and I know immediately I shouldn't have thought that, but then I just say, Lord, forgive me, and go on. Now, it can be pretty grim if you do anything that hurts a church, and particularly if you do it deliberately. Now, I have done some things in ignorance that has hurt the church since I've been here, but God didn't punish me for it because I was just ignorant, and I needed to learn. And that's why he called me the pastor. I needed to learn, and then I needed to pass it on to other people. The man of Isaiah 52 is Jesus the Messiah. The man of Isaiah 5:2 is Jesus the Messiah, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead is found to dwell bodily. And he is the I of Isaiah 53. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. In whom all the fullness of the Godhead is found to dwell bodily. He was a part of the Godhead before heaven and earth were created. He is the Word, the Logos, the Son of the living God in John 1, 1 through 5. And his light still shines unto men's hearts to give them the eternal light of everlasting life. I have the eternal light of everlasting life. He's taught me, you know, and once the light comes and teaches you this, you don't forget it. Now, I guess if you once quit going to church and everything and started going out to drinking beer and doing what else, Lord knows what else, I guess you could forget you were once saved. But you're never unsaved after you're saved. I'll put it that way. But Israel still abides in darkness today. That's why they are in darkness today and fails to comprehend the light of God in her Messiah, Christ Jesus. They still don't see the light of God in their Messiah, Christ Jesus. And the reason they rejected him was they rejected him because he said he was God. That was the reason for the rejection. So the truth of the matter is, when you go through these things like this and you look at them, you say, boy, that's a pretty heavy punishment. But you go through all those Old Testament scriptures. He keeps holding out his hand. He says, he holds out his hand. And they reject him, And they were rejecting God even before Jesus came as God. So this is something that in no way, shape, or fashion can you ever blame God for any of this. It was Israel's fault. And you can't blame God for anything that you did that was wrong because it's you did it. It's your fault. And so the first thing you got to learn is don't blame God for anything in your life. We had one church member. He's still a member here, and I love him dearly. And he's had a hard time in life. I really love the old boy. And he's young. But he just kept blaming God for everything in his life. And he would come to see me and 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 come to see me. And every time he'd bring that up, and I'd say, wait a minute. I said, you're blaming God. And finally, he has learned after all these years not to blame God. And I don't understand that, because even when I was young, I never blamed God for anything. I was scared to death of him. And I knew if I blamed him, I was wrong. How did I know? I don't know. I just knew. Because I don't think God ever made a mistake, and he never will. And so why should I complain about anything that happens? Because God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Isaiah 54. He says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. Isaiah says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. What is it? He says, trust not in your own wisdom. What was it Solomon asked for? I know he didn't end up good. But that's got nothing to do with this principle. Because he asked for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. I had an old missionary Baptist preacher that was the first missionary Baptist I ever had in the Philippines from the ABA. I loved that old man. He taught me an awful lot just by phone conversations, and I thought he was just causing me because he was lonely. Well, he was lonely. But God had another purpose there. That old man taught me a lot. And I started asking for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And I stopped trying to rest on my own wisdom. That's the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. Because how do you know if it's your wisdom or God's wisdom? And then I learned to pray, and then I learned to trust, and then I learned to have an emotional relationship with God where I could understand. And God, so when it says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, I've had so many people in my ministry that have told me how intelligent I am. Oh, I'm supposed to be super intelligent. I'm supposed to be this. I'm supposed to be that. Brother Tom's the smartest man I ever saw in my life. Listen. Brother Tom is not the smartest one who ever lived. Brother Tom is somebody that has learned to do what God taught him to do and to follow his teachings. And if I'm wise, then I'm going to follow his teachings. So I can't take credit for it. If you want to say, well, you got all this, you got this intelligence, you did this, you did that. See, I used to walk in the sparks of my own fire. I loved that. I didn't know any better. God called me into this, and I walked in the sparks of my own fire, my own power. My sparks, my light. Man, I had a fire going inside me. A lot of people said, I'm on fire for Jesus. Well, I don't know how many. We started off with 65 in our class. And the first time we were in Brother Goodwin's class, Brother Goodwin was an evangelistic firebrand. And all these guys we had just surrendered to the ministry in there, and they would jump up and they would say, Brother Goodwin, I want to give my testimony. We didn't get to hear much from Brother Goodwin, so he let him give a testimony, and he said, blah, 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 blah. He told us all about blah, 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 all about his surrender to the ministry, blah, 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 blah. And Joe Carl and I sat back there, and we just a couple of dumb clods. We came because we knew we weren't pleasing God, and we was going to try to do better. And so there were these guys doing it. You know how many people finished out of our class? If I recall correctly, about 13. And the first ones that disappeared were the ones that gave the most fantastic things. But the first time I don't doubt they were saved, but the first time they ran into an obstacle, they quit. They were like Roman candles. I want to give my testimony. And Joe and I didn't know zip. Joe said, what do you think of that, Mac? I said, well, I don't know. I'm getting to feel inferior because I said, I don't want to tell them my testimony. Anyway, I discovered something about myself and I discovered about them. I thought I was great. Here I was, all this education and getting more and more and more. And the more I got, when I was a boy, I had a inferiority complex, and we'd all run for the back room. When somebody knocked on the door, it wasn't because we weren't paying our bills. But the truth of the matter is, I had gotten such a superiority complex that I didn't realize it. God broke me, and He has still broken me, and I love every minute of it, even though it hurts. Now, He says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word and say to him, to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. Notice what Isaiah says. Who hath believed our report? All Isaiah was, and he realized it, was a reporter. And he reported what God taught him and what God led him to write. And so when I look at Isaiah, I look at that as being directly from God Himself, and Isaiah was merely the reporter, the carrier of it. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, I tell you what, when you got saved, was the arm of the Lord revealed to you? Well, you felt mighty relieved and you believed He could save you. So in that sense, it was. But good Lord, how much have you learned since then? And the more you learn about Him, the more you fall in love with Him, because the more you learn how bad you were, and He saved you, and He keeps you, and you still keep sinning, and you still keep having bad thoughts. You have to learn this stuff. And young people don't learn that anymore in churches, because it's just not hardly taught. They're so busy walking in the spark of their own fire that they try to serve God their way. And if you want to know why I have all these religious groups in churches that go around touring, you know, and singing and playing razz-tazz and jazz and what else, you want to know what motivates them? Their own sparks. They do it in their own fire, and they honestly think, I'm a serving God. Well, I thought that when I went to Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. I looked upon myself as somebody that was serving God, not helping Him, but serving Him, you know, and I was walking in sparks of my own fire, and I didn't even realize it. And finally, I came around, and I said, well, you're nothing, and He's everything. And that's been a help to me ever since. But it's something that goes on all your cotton-picking life. He says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. That's what Jesus was, a very tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground. Hey, you know what a bone dry ground is? It ain't got no moisture, no how, no way, no nothing. You know that a root can't grow out of that? Well, that's impossible, isn't it? Well, he was a virgin birth. And that's what that means. Out of the dry ground. Now he tells you something else about him that I've learned. The kids used to always say, don't mess with daddy's hair. Because daddy thought he was nice looking. You know, that's what daddy thought. But daddy didn't tell anybody he thought he was nice looking. But daddy thought that. And they, I had a little curl up here I was so proud of. And the girls would come in, if they'd mess that up. Now that's how self-centered I was, and that's how many sparks I had. I thought I was good looking. And I was wrong. I was wrong. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, isn't that normal? It is if you're walking in sparks of your own fire. But Jesus can never claim that people flocked to him because he was handsome and charming and debonair and had a little curl in the front of his hair. Here it is. He said, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I bet he wasn't ugly. I bet he wasn't beautiful. But I bet he was somewhere in between, where if you passed him on the street, the only way you'd know there was something different about him, if your eyes met, you'd know then. And you'd know. But he wasn't pretty. And he was just a common, ordinary looking man. But I'm glad they make him pretty and all these things. I don't like sometimes they make him look so feminine. But when they have a nice picture of Jesus where he looks a little bit masculine, or where he likes, I love it. We don't put pictures up here in the church because he don't want us working a picture. He wants us to worship what he said, his word. He says, then took him he up in his arms and blessed God. This is old Simeon. And said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast performed before the face of all people. 8 years old, he was there for circumcision, and there was Simeon. You know, remember what Paul said? He said, I believe it shall be as the Lord hath told me. Remember when he said that? You ever think about that? How do you believe? I mean, we got a lot of people on church rolls that don't even understand that. I believe it shall be even as Jesus told me. This ship ain't going to sink. And when somebody, that's the way Paul believed. And so here we are with a situation where he told this old man, God, through the Spirit, let him know, you're going to get to see the Messiah. There's the promise. What if he had said, Lord, I wish you'd make me rich. You think God would have done it? I doubt it. And I think I doubt if he would have asked for that. Anybody wanted to see the Messiah in those times and days, with Herod the king, they had to love the Lord. And so did the old woman that came. He got both sexes. He's an equal opportunity employer. Now look at Luke 2:40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is his life from about age 8 days to 12 years. He was at the temple 12 years. He was there at age 12. He was there, and they were amazed at how much he knew. Now, this is the man, Christ Jesus. This is the man, Christ Jesus. He grew in stature and in wisdom. Now, you say, but God. He was God. He was God. He was God. That's right. And he had two wills. He could obey the office of the Father, and he could obey the office of the Holy Spirit, or he had a choice. Do I want to stay here? And he even pleaded with God, the man, if it's possible, let me stay here. Well, now you say, well, that was a sin. No, that's not a sin. That is not a sin. And he never committed a sin in his entire life. I'm talking about a flesh and blood man who was put down here as a quickening spirit, God himself, and he grew up as a man, and he knew all the things about a man because he grew up as a man. He understood everything that was happening to him, and he taught the human part of him who also had a will, but neither one of them ever sinned, and yet they were one. Now, in Luke 2, 46-47, it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. That's age 12. Now look at 252. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was God. He was perfect. He was a man. He was perfect. And he will always be perfect. And he will always be God. There will be no more growing up as a man. There will be no more coming as a man. For he took all our sins in his own body on the tree. And personally took our sins in his own sinless body on the tree. He's God Almighty. And he's, Lord, I think you're more than God Almighty. You're God Almighty who loves us. And who lets us do things and forgives us. He's more than just God Almighty. He's a God of love. God is love. And so I think that you don't really learn to love him like you should when you understand that he went through all the temptations you went through and a whole lot more. And yet as God's son, he did not sin. So there's things in here that, you know, that I just revel in. John 12, 44 to 48. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. How much more plainer can you get? I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. He's not going to judge him as his Messiah, as his Savior. He's going to judge him at the great white throne of judgment. For I came not to judge the world. He's going to judge the world, those that didn't receive him at the great white throne. But he's going to do it as God Almighty, God the Father, one God. But as the personal Savior, no, he's not going to judge him as the personal Savior, Jesus himself. But to save the world, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Here's the way Jesus is going to judge him. He's one God. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. They won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be there at the great white throne of judgment, and it's going to be God that's sitting up there, and they wouldn't receive him as the Son. And it's going to be him, but it's going to be a different kind of judgment, because the judgment is already determined. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father that which sent me, he gave me a commandment. What I should say and what I should speak. He did that from baptism to death. Now he did that from baptism to death. Never sinned. Never lost his temper. Except, and he didn't lose his temper. He put out righteous indignation when he took out a small whip and drove the money changers off the temple. The one thing that he would not put up with was when they defamed the name of the Godhead, all of it itself, and he wouldn't put up with that. They were selling sheep that were rotten, they were selling sheep that were old, about dead, and they were selling them for a high price to the people that came down that didn't have any sheep of their own to bring, and he let them have it. And you say, well, what do you think he'd do now? Same thing. Amen. Same thing. Because you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't defile God's temple. They defiled the temple itself by their conduct, and they were Jews. I suppose they had to be Jews. He said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father sent me. He gave me a commandment: what I should say, what I should speak." This is part of his life from baptism to death. Isaiah 55: The Lord God opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Matthew 26, 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. This was when he went the last time, I think, yeah, and third time. And he accepted the man, the human, the perfect human. He accepted his Father's will for his life. He did what the first Adam didn't do. He did what we couldn't do. And because he loved us, he died for us and sacrificed up that flesh and blood body for our sins. Isaiah 53:7-8. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Well, a whole lot of people have been declaring his generation. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. It was Israel that crucified him. I know the Romans did, but they delivered him up. Pilate told him, he told him he'd let him go. But he said, I have power over you. And Jesus said, you would have no power at all over me. But he said, they are the ones who delivered me to you. It had already been determined what was going to happen. And it did happen. Isaiah 56. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You know, a lot of people come to church. The first time something goes wrong, they get offended. Something happens, and he was spit on. He didn't hide his face from it. He had his hair plucked off. He had his cheek smitten. They slapped him. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Now he really puts it on the Jews. He lays it on them. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. But some people say there's no such thing as a little sin and a big sin. Well, this was a greater sin. He says so. Now look at Matthew 27:29-30. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Now, my goodness, everything happened just like Isaiah said it would, just like all the prophets said it would. Some of them didn't exactly understand what they wrote. Isaiah did. And Isaiah understood a lot of what he wrote, because he said that God has opened his ear. And Isaiah was a man who really wanted to please God, really tried all his life. And I think Isaiah, in my opinion, is the most beautiful writer of prose, inspired prose, in the Old Testament. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Tetelestai, meaning in the past, in the present, and in the future. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is easy for God's messenger to walk in his own sparks. Been there, done that. It's wrong. But quite frankly, when you are called into the ministry, unless you came from underneath John himself, then quite frankly, you only know how to walk in your own sports. You want to be the best at football. You want to be the best at running. You want to be the best in basketball. You want to be the best in baseball. You want everybody to look at you and say, Boy, he's a good. And there's none good except God. But that's what you want when you're running around and you get saved, and there you are. Well, you don't know anything to do except walk in your own sparks. So I took off walking in my own sparks, serving the Lord. And he didn't mind. He knew that's what I'd do. Because you don't open up their head and pour all this stuff in here at one time and say, Now you got the Holy Spirit. No, you don't do that. But now that's what men do. And you know what these preachers and these false churches are walking in? Their own sparks. But this messenger will be laid down in sorrow by Jesus. Since he never practiced letting Jesus pull all of his yoke, but the yoke bearer tried to pull it by his own sparks. You can't lay down in peace. You know, you can't do it. But this messenger will be laid down in sorrow by Jesus. We have preachers that go all their lives preaching Jesus correctly, and they preach it by their own sparks. And people are saved at the preaching of the word because that's what saves them. But the yoke bearer tried to pull it by his own sparks. That's what I tried to do. But I was ignorant. Well, thank God, he opened my ear to hear him. And I realized I was walking in my own sparks. I was God called, make no mistake about that. And I wanted to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But I wanted to be noticed. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be cared for. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you were born that way. I know that. And you know what one of the girls would have told me? Get over it. Get over it. And so I learned how to pastor at this church, if you want to know. It's the only one I ever had. Only one God ever gave me. And so why did he give me this one? I used to wonder, you know, me, this great man who walks around with all these sparks, so well known through the American Baptist Association. You send me to a little church like this? I didn't come out and say it, but I'm thinking, but I knew he did. And I thought, whoa. Well, you know why? Because I was walking in my own sparks. You know what I'm thankful for? God opened my ear. And I knew. I began to see, Tom, you're not letting God change you. You can't walk in your own sparks forever. I was equipped to go out and teach all this stuff about the world and the way the tectonic plates operate. God equipped me for that. But instead of being humble about it, I loved it. And I loved the recognition, the attention, and the praise. And I was so wrong, but I thought I was serving God. But, you know, after I had my heart attack, and actually while I was still out on the road, and I saw so many preachers that are miserable, I began to wonder, what's wrong with us? Why are we so unhappy? And they dumped everything they had on me. They wanted me to hear them and to sympathize with them, empathize with them, help them to understand why all this was going on. I went to over 700 churches and seminaries. Now, here's what I've learned. And I hope every one of you learns this. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. That means a real flint is something the Indians used to use. You know, it's real hard and water can't percolate down through it. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what? When you walk in your own sparks, you get embarrassed a lot. You get ashamed a lot because somebody comes along and tells you what's wrong with you and you don't like it. But then afterwards, because you've got God's Spirit in you, God lets you know, you know, they're right. And so I begin to do what I should. I don't walk in my own sparks anymore. I don't have any sparks left. I just walk in God's sparks. It's the only sparks I got. That's the only light I got. I walk in God's sparks. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with him? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Now notice what he says next. And I've been praying this a lot for the last several weeks. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Think about that. Who's going to condemn me? Not guilty. Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. I'm an old man now, but I've never been so happy in my life. I'm an old man now. I don't have any sparks left. But I got God sparks, and that's what I should have always been walking in. The spark that gave off the light from the God who is a burning, living God. Who is among us that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? A lot of people think they have light. They've got the light from their own sparks, but they don't have the life that God gives them that has all the attributes of, you'll find in 2 Peter, virtue, knowledge, temperance. Do I have to go through all of them? You know them as well as I do. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You know when I get in trouble? When I don't stay upon my God. When I start walking, when I lose my cool, I'm not. I got some sparks going out, but they didn't come from God. And stay upon his God. If you stay upon your God, you're going to keep coming to church. It's pretty hard to say that. But you can't stay upon your God without being in church worshiping him in spirit and in truth. You can't do it. That's what it means to say stay upon your God. Behold all ye that kindle a fire. This is true of a lot of preachers. Behold all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks. You just take it like a huge cosmos of sparks. Coming from your fire. You're the fire. You're the fire. Oh, God's in here, but he's shut down because you're going to grieve him. You're going to do all sorts of things to irritate him. You're going to quench him. You're going to grieve him. You're going to resist him. But you are the fire. He's the fire in you. And his sparks are supposed to come out from you. But the truth is, most preachers, when they're called into this, they haven't learned this. And it's awful hard to serve God without wanting it, without getting attention. Well, after a while, they get the tension up to here. They just chokes them. I got so tired of it, I wanted to throw up because I didn't want it. I knew something was wrong. Something was wrong. Something's not right here. I'm doing everything I know how. That's the problem. I am doing everything that's okay. And it wasn't that way. And listen, most preachers, when they surrender to preach, that's exactly what they do. And some of them change and some of them don't. He says, behold, all you that kindle a fire, your own fire, and compass yourself about with sparks, your own sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. He says, well, go ahead. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. Go ahead. He says, this shall be of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Man, I was so laid down in sorrow because I knew what it meant to be saved. I had the rest of Matthew 11. And 28, I had that, but I didn't understand that I was in sorrow because I wasn't feeling so great about it anymore. Guess why? God didn't want me to. God wanted me to start feeling good about it because my motivation was right. Matthew 11, 28, 30. I did this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, I had the rest. I knew I wasn't going to hell. And I knew I was in the right church. I knew I had scriptural baptism. I knew I was observing the Lord's Supper correctly. Then I went ahead and I took his yoke upon me, and I learned of him. I learned about him, learned all about him, still have a lot to learn. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Wait a minute. There, I saw something and I said, I'm not meek and lowly in heart. I'm putting out my own sparks from my own fire inside me. I wasn't teaching anything wrong. I was preaching correctly. I was God called. You'd be surprised how many preachers never learned this. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, I thought, why don't I have rest unto my souls? Now I know. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for teaching me that lesson. And I just let Him take the burdens, and I turn things over to Him, and I keep trying to learn, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to do in this problem the church has? What do you want me to do with this problem in my own life? What do you want me to tell these people that come to me and ask for advice? And I give them the sparks that come from the Lord's fire. And I'm still learning how to do it. I'm telling you, the original practices of the first New Testament church, they had good preachers. They were learning, and they had been with the Master. And they came to understand just what I preached here. And they all laid down and rest because they had quit chasing their own sparks. That's why they were always arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. That's already been settled. He's the one who's the fire. And His sparks are the ones that give the light. Just follow the sparks of God. You'll be all right. I regret it took so long to learn it. But I thank God that He taught me that before I died. Because it sure does make it a lot easier to pastor this church. To do that. And the recent things, that's fine. That's fine. It's really helped me. Okay, I'm going to turn this off. And I'm going to start a series on this.